TV.
I see what you mean. I need some Jack
Daniels. One, two, three. Check one, two, three. Check one, two, three.
Live from Kansas City, Missouri. Not Kansas City, Kansas. Kansas City, Missouri. This is Martin Zenner, and you're at MZTV. I have a special guest here. We just finished the conference in Kansas City, and I met this lovely lady. Her name is Claudia, and I think I met you for the first time last year, right?
Yep.
In Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I don't love her just because she loves me. I mean, she does love me. She told me that. And I'm going to find out how and why. But before she loved me, she loved the Lord. And I asked her to do and to sit for an interview in my room here in Kansas City, because the one thing I know all you folks love is you love it when I do interviews of other members of the body of Christ, because it's so interesting to find out how people came to be where they are. I mean, how did you end up in Kansas City? Well, the first thing I want to ask you is, I'm assuming, I don't know this, Claudia, but I think you were raised in an organized religion, in a denomination of some kind. You weren't?
No, I wasn't raised in a Christian home.
You weren't? Were you raised in a pagan home? What happened?
Well, it was just a home. My mother raised me.
Yes.
And my father was a drug addict, so he wasn't around. Oof. So that might, you know, mean that that's how I started my journey.
Wow.
Yeah, drugs and stuff, and just being high and wanting to party. That was me.
Where did you grow up?
Chicago, Illinois.
Ooh, that's a tough town now.
That's where I was born and raised, wonderful childhood. And then I hit those teenage period, when I just went wild and was having fun, you know, all the time. And then, oh, we always said my mother and sister prayed for me. They ended up going to church, and they started praying for me and kept, Claudia, come on, go to church with us. And I said, no. And it got to the point I had to tell them, stop. Respectfully, Mom, stop asking me to go to church. Okay, so she stopped. And about a week later, I was in a car accident and the car was totaled.
Oof.
And I walked away, no.
You weren't totaled.
Whiplash,
you walked out without a scratch.
Not without a scratch.
What did that do to you?
I said, Mom, I'm ready to go to church.
Okay.
And that Sunday when I went to church, and, you know, at the end, they do the benediction.
The altar call.
The altar call.
Or they play the organ music and try to get you to come to the altar.
And it was like an out-of-body experience when they said, well, if you're not sure if you get hit by a bus or a car accident that you're going to heaven, raise your hand. So I raised my hand. And then, you know, okay, now get up. And that's when it felt like an out-of-body experience, because when I got up, it just didn't seem like, I don't know, it just felt weird. I got up and went forward. And another thing, I started crying and I couldn't stop. And I kept wondering, why? What's wrong with me? Why do I keep crying? So anyway, you know, I said the sinner's prayer and all that. But I knew something inside me had changed.
Mm.
Don't cry.
And do you think, what happened after that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I noticed you're not in church anymore. I mean, you're coming to this strange meeting where we talk about things that they didn't talk about in that church.
Yeah, so I was in that Crenshaw Christian Center, Fred Price. You familiar with him, California?
Okay.
So I was in there for a while, all gung-ho, happy, all this peace and stuff. And right away, he took the desire for... was a smoking alcohol. Uh-huh. Right away, he took that away. And then I just knew something had changed within me. And so I don't want to make it long. But
I want to make it long. I want to hear the details. I want to hear the details. I mean, you were doing more than smoking and drinking. I don't want to press too hard here, but you were, I'm sorry.
No.
Let me ask you that. I mean, I want to go back to your childhood for a little bit, because that's so... a part of you. And your father, was he an at-home father? Did he care for you? Did he love you?
No, he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
No, he would pop in periodically.
Yes, but he was
But he wasn't there.
He
but,
was a drug addict.
Yeah.
Did that influence you to rebel?
Yeah, which, no.
Because
at the time, I didn't know it. But I'm just thinking about how stuff is transferred from parent to child.
But your mother must have been a saint then.
Yeah, because she wasn't in, well, she drank, but she didn't do all the drugs and stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went on the wild side. You saw
it. I wanted to experience it all. I wanted to find out which drug I liked. Whatever I wanted to try it. And if I liked it, I kept it.
You liked it.
If I didn't like it, like the pills, the craze of the pills was there. Yellow Jacket, Christmas Trees, Red Dog. Maybe that was just in Chicago.
Yellow
Jacket. They call it the different pills.
Okay, right.
I didn't like them. And
What did you like? What was your drug of choice?
Marijuana. I loved it.
You loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you went into this church, you stopped desiring it.
That was the last stronghold was marijuana.
Okay.
Drinking left, cussing left, you know, a few things left. And then my boyfriend at the time, he said, oh, I got some good pot. I already said it. I said, oh, no. Then I told him, I said, no. That's when I noticed I had no desire for it.
Because you were going to church and you had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
he was saying,
we were shacking up.
Okay. But you were going to church and feeling differently. And he says, hey, I got some good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was your response?
I said, I want it. The desire was gone.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
See, I mean, God can work in church. I always talk about how terrible church is, you know. But I mean, God talked to me through a film, through a Hollywood movie called Jesus of Nazareth. So, I mean, God can speak to anyone at any time. And you had a legitimate experience in this church, and you were changed.
Yeah.
And what caused that was that car accident.
Right.
And the car was totaled.
Totaled.
And you walked away without a scratch. Do you remember how the accident happened? I'm just curious about these things.
I was going to a bar. I was following my friend through a bar, and she was driving fast, and I was trying to keep up with her. And a car was making a left onto me, and I guess he misjudged my speed and whatnot. So he hit me and took me down halfway down the street. And,
Scared to death.
Yeah. Then I was stunned, and I said, wow, I'm fine. Nothing's wrong with me.
There must have been a divine hand in that. Is that what you thought, or you didn't think that until you went to the church?
Right. But, okay. Later on, God started reminding me all the things where I could have died. Heroin overdose. Woke up on the floor.
You overdosed on heroin?
Yeah. Oh, I liked heroin. I mentioned.
You missed that one.
Marijuana.
Yeah. Wow. That, you could have died.
Yeah.
And you probably knew people who died in Chicago. Lots of people.
Right.
To the left and to the right. They're dying of heroin overdose. And God spared you that, too. How did you get saved from that, if you don't mind me asking?
From what?
The heroin overdose.
Oh, God moved me. The area we lived in at the time, I want to say it was South Bend, Indiana. But he moved us from there to California.
Mm-hmm.
He always had his hand on me, moving me before I got hooked. You know, heroin, they say, is a bad addiction.
Yeah, they say once you get on that, you can't get off.
So, he moved me, got me out of that. So I was out of that circle. But, you know, I was still, you know, drinking marijuana. Like I said, marijuana was my favorite.
I wouldn't know any of this to look at you. You look like just a very quiet, calm person. But then when I start talking to you, I can see that there's some kind of spark there. And I think, okay, I can believe it.
You can.
Yeah, okay, I can believe it.
Yeah, my early 20s.
Early 20s. How long did that fling last, do you think? Fling. That crazy time you had. 10 years? 15 years? Less?
Maybe 15.
15 years.
Because I was like in my 30s when I came to Christ. The first thing was cigarettes. Mm-hmm. A year before I got saved. Should I say it like that? Teacher?
You can say it any way you want. I'll correct you later.
Okay.
No, you're all right.
I stopped smoking. You know, they had this thing about cigarettes causing cancer.
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah.
Yeah, so I said, okay, I'm going to start weaning myself off of that. So I weaned myself off of smoking cigarettes. And then that next year is when all that happened with being saved and going to church and
I'm gonna ask you a
having
trick.
A new life.
I'm going to ask you a trick question now. Ready for this? Do you regret those years when you were on drugs?
I never thought about it.
That's why it's a trick question.
It was a good time. The music, the dance.
See? I was trying to get that out of you.
Oh.
It was a good time, right?
Yeah.
And this, think of this. It's the contrast. You wouldn't have come to the Lord without that.
Okay.
You got a double bonus. You had a great time. Then you stopped by the grace of God. And you practically levitated off of the church pew. Apparently,
yeah, levitate.
That's how it felt, right?
Yeah, my angel thing.
Yeah, there are such things as angels.
I believe it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe it too.
Yeah.
I believe it
too. Take care of us.
And your mom was right all that time. But something got you out of church. So your mother was bugging you your whole life.
Not my whole life.
Because she was worried you're going to die. And with good reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mom up there protects you. She wants you to come to church, get right. Get right with God.
Right,
you
right.
Say, no, I'm having too much fun. You had this terrible car accident, almost died of a heroin overdose. You're in church, you had this experience, okay? Now, and then your boyfriend says, hey, I got some pot. And you said, no.
Yeah.
Was your
that was strange. I said, no.
Yeah, you couldn't believe that. But was that relationship over at that point, or did you still?
No, we were shacking up.
Okay.
And I'm new to the word, and it said, you know, don't fornicate. You're living in sin. So I told him, and we got married. I don't know about being unequally yoked.
Right.
I learned that later because I'm new to the church. So
yes.
Anyway, that didn't work out.
Now, how long were you in the church, Claudia?
I'm going to say about 2 years.
That's all, 2 years.
That's all. And wait a minute. This is another strange
thing. Bring it on.
I'm happy. And, you know, I'm loving church and getting involved in everything.
Yeah.
And then one day I go to church and I couldn't go.
Why?
Now, Martin, that's what I want you to explain to me.
Okay, I can do it.
Why? It's like the Holy Spirit holds you back or something.
Yeah.
There was nothing keeping me from going to church, but I couldn't go.
Wow.
Now, what was that?
Can I tell you what that was? That was the Holy Spirit saying, you've had this experience. It moved, just like me. I watched a movie on TV, and it moved me to want to know God. And then God said, I want you to go on. There's something that's not here. You had your initial experience. This is what I used to wake you up. But now I have my hand on you, and I'm going to take you to another place. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit telling
okay.
you.
It's that so was strange. Weird that I could go, but I couldn't go.
You
nothing,
couldn't go.
Nothing physically was keeping me back.
No,
but
it's spiritual, Claudia, spiritual. The Holy Spirit. That's
but
one of the reasons you're here.
I was like a gypsy. I was going from church to church. Well, maybe it's another church. Maybe it wasn't that church. Maybe it's this church.
Mm.
So I was going from church. And I'm wondering, why is God putting me through all this to finally get to El Rey, to finally get to Martin? But I digress. So I was going from church to church. And then three of us, my girlfriend's husband,
mm-hmm.
he said, Claudia, you know, I've been studying, and I don't think Christians should be tithing. I said, oh, I'm a giver. I like to give, you know.
Yeah.
He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, I don't think we should be doing it. So he said it, and I said, months went by. I forgot all about it. Oh. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting at home, and the Holy Spirit said, look up. I don't know if Google was there at the time. 81. Holy Spirit said, Google, should Christians be tithing?
Wow.
So I went on a computer.
You're good.
And L. Ray Smith.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say L. Ray Smith, because that is one of his hard topics. Tithing. You Googled and L. Ray Smith came up.
And I read that paper. I showed it to my friend. Yeah. We were both Ilray Smith students.
Yes.
I read that and it was like, what if they're lying about this? Mm-hmm. What else are they lying about? And then we did Ilray Smith Hell, and I was blown away.
Yeah, that's a game changer, life changer.
So we studied Ilray, everything on Ilray, yep. And then we kind of got away from it. Well, Ilray did a pic. Can I say it? It's okay for me to talk freely?
Yes, you can talk freely here. We're not in church. We're not in church.
Ilray did a paper on speaking in tongues.
Okay.
It didn't rubbed me the wrong
it
way.
It didn't sit right with you.
The way he did it.
Well, yeah, I want to hear more about this, and then I got something to tell you about that. Go ahead.
Okay. He did the teaching on public speaking in tongues.
Okay.
You know, and he kind of made a mockery of it and all that. I said, but what about private? He didn't mention private.
There are different species of languages. You're absolutely right. Not many people know that.
Yeah, he was making fun of, I was in a service and somebody was saying da, 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 da. And then the minister interpreted, you know, and like the da, da, da was supposed to change to something that, I don't know, that he could interpret, but he couldn't interpret. I said, okay. And just the way he, to me, mocked at it.
Right.
But like I said, he didn't say, you alone with God speaking in tongues.
That's a different thing.
Okay.
People will be surprised to hear that I've actually experienced speaking alone to God. Not in a long time. Paul says it's part of immaturity. There are different species of languages.
I was wondering about that.
This is what people don't realize. Paul says there are different species of languages. So it's not just, there's one language where it was in the ecclesia and you had to have an interpreter. There's another kind of language where you're actually speaking a foreign language, like Peter on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And then Paul says, I speak in languages more than all of you. It was a private type thing.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. The same thing that turned you on to Ray Smith, his satire, his smart-ass attitude, turned you off of Ilray. I was a friend of Ilray. I knew him. He visited my home. I entertained him in my home. We talked on the phone all the time. And we agree he's the best, one of the best on the salvation of all. Sovereignty of God. And then when it comes to Israel, he thought God was done with Israel. There's no snatching away and everything. So we had, just as you found something that caused you.
Yeah.
I had the same experience. So what happened after that, Claudia?
So the three of us that was studied with Ilray.
Who's the three of you?
This was the husband and wife and me. We'd have our Bible study.
Bible study, okay.
They just stuck with Ilray. They was just Ilray. But I kind of stepped back a little.
Yeah.
But unbeknownst to me, there was still something in me that was searching for something else. It's like Ilray was incomplete.
Yeah. I know. That's
and that went on. Then I'm a YouTuber. So I'm on YouTube all the time looking at different things and praying. And sometimes right away I will listen to a message and, that's not. And I had enough Ilray Smith or the Bible teaching in me to know this ain't right. And some I would linger on longer. And then they would just disappear. So I figured it was the Lord moving them away. But I'm sitting there one day and here along my feet, Martin Zender. And I wish I had wrote down the topic that drew me to you.
Yeah.
I said, this sounds interesting. Let me look at this video, and the rest is history.
Mm.
It was like you were the missing piece after Ilray Smith. And then when you mentioned Scott Hicko, stick a fork in me, I'm done.
You know, so many have said that, and they've said it about, not to dismiss these ministries at all, because they're absolutely essential, and they brought so many people out. I'm thinking of Ilray Smith. I'm thinking of Gary Amaral, Tent Maker. I'm thinking of Jerry Boschman, who wrote a book, Hope Beyond Hell. And there's so many ministries that brought, even Pagan Christianity. There's a book by a famous writer. I forget who it was. But these books, they were the initial spark that brought people out of organized religion, and they opened their ears.
Yeah.
And And people, a lot of people I know find L. Ray Smith first. They find tent maker Gary Emerald. Oh. You're not the first to say that.
Okay.
And then, like you, the Spirit of God's been on you your whole life, sister, your whole life, through the drugs, through the father who was not there, through your saint mother, through that church experience. It was all part of it. It was all part of it. And then you want more. You want more.
Yeah, yeah.
You want the whole picture. And then you found a place where the two evangels, you know, and the Israel message and God's Aeonian purpose. There are a series of eons. And we, you learned that the statute way was for you. There is a tribulation. There is a new heavens and a new earth coming. And that is the complete picture as far as we have in the scripture.
That's it. My search is over. That's it.
I don't think that.
Martin.
Wow, thank you. I am so thankful.
I mean, in this life, yeah.
I'm so thankful that God brought you.
You're thankful.
Are you thankful too? We're both thankful. I mean, that blesses me because I remember. Listen, go ahead. You go ahead. I got something to tell you. You talk first.
Okay. When I first came to Martin, it was great. Then after a while, I'm like, what is all these shenanigans and these voices and these drinking and smoking? I'm like, so I'm talking to the Lord.
You gotta talk to the Lord about this.
Lord, I don't know.
You don't know. Is this man
but
safe?
But you know what? The Lord kept me.
Yeah.
Tuning into you.
Do you know what? I remember sitting at the kitchen table with my wife in 1993 debating whether to leave the post office with a wife and three kids, taking a step of faith to do this work, to herald the evangel full time in my youth with all my energy and all my strength while I was young. And it was so scary, Claudia. I can't tell you how scary it was to consider leaving a government job to do a job that I didn't know really what was going to happen. But you know what? And my wife was even less sure of it than me. She says, I don't trust you, but I trust God. But you know what God said to me? And I repeated this to her. I said, I know there are people out there. This was 1993. This was 33 years ago. There are people that we need to meet. There are people that we have not met yet that need to hear this message. And if we don't step out in faith, it was almost like a Field of Dreams moment. If you build it, they will come. And that was what I heard. It was an audible voice, but it was, you have to build it first. You have to take that step of faith and they will come. And you're one of them. Beautiful. Bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
So God showed me your heart.
Mm. Yeah. And everybody sees your heart. And I'm glad to be sharing this moment with the body of Christ. It is about the heart. It's not just intellectual knowledge, is it? It's not just about learning about the eons, learning the Greek words. It's a heart. It's a heart behind it. If that's not there, there's nothing. If we don't have love, we have all knowledge.
I'll be on there praying for you. Oh, Martin, don't give up. Oh, don't let your mind.
Well, I'm sure not going to give up now. I'm sure not going to give up now. Oh, that was so beautiful. Thank you. You know, I just asked Claudia just an hour and a half ago. I'd love to talk to you. And I knew you had a deep story. I've never heard any of this. And so, boy.
And last year, you remember last year you wanted me to give my testimony?
I did? I asked you last year?
I'm glad you forgot.
I forgot. I forgot. We have a studio audience.
No, I didn't say no. I said, I'm not ready.
Oh, my gosh.
But that bothered me.
It's like
saying no to you.
You see, but I even knew last year that there was something there. There was a spark that was going to bless everyone listening to the show.
Oh, I hope so.
I can't remember that I did that. But I'm happy to hear that I was that smart even a year ago to ask you. And today, and this year, today, you said yes. And everyone else is blessed. Claudia, thank you so much for that testimony. And I think that this conference here in Kansas City will be the last one. I think that we will be meeting in the air. And we will see what all this we will see that every, we know it now, but we will see it so clearly how every single event in our lives brought us here.
Yeah.
Even the evil ones, sister. Even the evil ones. Thank you so much for your
testimony.
You're
welcome. Thank you.